And we're back on KJCC Real Campus Radio, online at live365.com, keyword KJCC. This is Suzaku.
And this is Zutan.
And?
Mars Girl?
And this is the Limit Break.
Yes, it is.
Okay, now let's go into a subject that everybody and their kids may know, Sentai. It's not what you think.
It is.
It's basically your live-action kitty shows that you see on ABC. It's otherwise known as Power Rangers.
Yes.
Now, there's a lot of fanboys out. There's a lot of fans out there of Sentai, especially one over in Time Tunnel Toys. They really are adamant about the first Sentai series going back on. There was like, if I remember correctly, there was a series. I'm a little rusty on Sentai, but goes back to 1975 up to Zyuranger. They are adamant about those.
Yeah, Zyuranger, while it was the first one we got, it wasn't the first one in the Ranger series. You couldn't quote me on which one the first one actually was, but
it had
been going for years before that.
I got it. Go Ranger. That from 1975 to 1977. That's the first one, and all the way up to Mask, Live, Turbo, 5, Jet. Yeah, up to Jet, man. These guys, there are some people that may go for the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 shows in the Sentai universe.
And that's just Rangers, too. And right. Of course, we brought up Kamen Rider also, which is, oh gosh, I think there's more Kamen Rider than there is Super Sentai. And then there's almost more Ultraman than there is of either one of those.
I actually remember way too briefly in the 90s about something called Super Samurai Squad.
Oh, Super Samurai Cyber Squad.
Yeah.
Right. Gotta have that sound alliteration type thing.
Yeah, that's kind of the only way to get kids' attention, I guess, or at least TV producers seem to think so.
Of course, and
reminds me of The Simpsons, the Krusty Comedy Classic, all three with K's.
Oh, God.
And he realizes, oh, no.
It's not what you think.
Exactly.
It's not what you think.
Oh,
I think that catchphrase is going to pick up.
Yeah, I think it will. 10, 11, we're the sort 20, of people 40, who 50, accidentally 50, 50, say 15, these things.
18, 19, there's 20. There's 20 shows in the Kamen Rider series up to Decade, which is the latest one.
Wow.
So
I mean, 20 series, that's quite a lot.
In fact,
Ultraman, I'm pretty positive Ultraman beats that.
Let's see here.
We'll have to check. But I mean, one of the things the only thing I remember from the original Power Rangers series that I would watch, I don't even remember which it was. I'm a complete noob in that regard. But I just remember how I used to think that thing was so awesome because it actually showed the good guys getting hurt at some point, because no other shows would show that. I mean, that's the only thing I remember about it. It was weird.
But yeah, that's like true. They'd sometimes get themselves sliced in the shoulder and then have these overdramatic movements of them actually feeling pain for a little while.
Right.
Yeah, like I'm holding my arm right now while I'm limping.
Yes, we can all see it. But, seriously, it was sort of like, apparently for people of the generation that sort of was creating the movies like The Matrix and things like that, when they were kids, Speed Racer was this new thing that was sort of like, can you show this stuff on TV?
Can you show stock footage of screenshots of Speed Racer where it goes, aww? Can yes. we really show that on TV?
And a girl whose companion is a monkey?
It's not what you think.
Exactly. I know it's going to catch on. Although the one thing that my mom agrees with this, the thing that's funny about that show is that everybody speaks either really slow or really fast like this.
Kind of like the Micro Machines guy where he's talking really fast about how fast these little small cars are and stuff.
Well, back then they were trying too hard to match the lip flaps.
Right.
And they didn't just kind of shrink it down into, oh, this is in general what they're trying to say and what they're trying to get across and trying to make it sound normal in English. No, they just almost took some parts of it too literally,
right,
and decided to just shove all this English into this place that it shouldn't belong.
Yeah.
So basically, they were trying to match the English side is trying to match the pace of how the Japanese were speaking.
Right.
Kind of. Although.
And more in terms of syllables rather than words.
Exactly, and that's why you have the famous "aw."
Of course, at the same time, actually, we try to match lip flaps too much, whereas the Japanese actually don't really care. Mm-hmm. If you ever watch anything in Japanese, you'll really notice that we focus so hard on it, and that's something that people really critique voice acting on almost too hard. Oh, it doesn't match up. Okay, go watch it in Japanese, and you tell me how well that matches up.
Right. I mean, like, you know, that's absolutely true. And in a way, the English-speaking community of, like, art lovers or whatever, they're very snobbish in that regard. They always want everything to be very perfect aesthetically, and there's really no need for that amount of it. You know, you can deal with little things and sort of just, you know, appreciate the fact that they're there.
Yeah, never mind trying to enjoy it for some people.
Right. You know, for me, it's just like, you know, the Tao of watching stuff. You know, there's no good or bad as long as you just let it be.
Let's see here if I think I'm going to go with
this. Yeah, I mean, do you think that when subtitles are sort of out of time with when anybody's actually saying anything, though? Like, to me, that's the weirdest part.
Oh, if the subtitles show up on screen out of sync from when they're actually speaking?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awkward. That's example of poor subtitling. And I mean, there's a lot of, I've seen some pretty bad subtitle jobs, either from companies that are completely unprofessional or from, let's face it, fan subbers are often hit or miss.
Right.
You never really want it to be like, you always want it to be timely, of course,
mm-hmm.
and then you never want it to be more than, say, 2 lines tops.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you get subtitles that take up like half the screen, and then they have translator's note, senpai means blah, 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 and then fills up the rest of the screen.
Yeah, those are always weird. The only time I ever appreciate those are when they're talking about puns. You know, cause,
that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. Because that's something that can't literally translate over, and then you'd have to make up something entirely different. So if you're choosing to watch it subtitled, then that's appreciable. But at the same time, if I were going to, say, translate it into an English dub, what else can you do but change the joke?
I actually have an example for that. In a recent episode of Shin Kenja, the team is fighting against this monster who, and I forget which one, it was either the one that was using negative energy to attack the people, and then the people fly towards the walls and then cracks them open like they're made of super strength, all by negative words. Or it could be the guy with the really long tail sword thing. But once they got into their samurai gatai, or their sword,
mm-hmm.
is in this side. You got these symbols like wood, air, water, and heaven, or
mm-hmm.
and stuff, earth like that. And
right.
they were in this certain position where it was showing the yellow in on top. It looked like, and it said Oden, and then which was basically like a kebab, and the monster were going Oden.
So right, yeah, those are the kind of things that you don't really understand unless you are, like, either given an explanation or you're initiated in the way these things work.
Yeah, it doesn't really translate over, so that is excusable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you were to, say, get it in a DVD release, then they'll sometimes go ahead and add in that translation for you and kind of put it in a way that works, both in an English dub with that additional subtitle just off to the side. but
yeah, what I like is when they make that part optional compared to the rest of the subtitling. You know, when they have each type of subtitle separated as a different option that you can turn on all at once or different times.
It's hard for them, though, because from what I understand of, in order to even get that and have it pass in a DVD release,
right,
they have to have those additional kind of sign. You know, if a sign is written in Japanese and you subtitle the sign or whatever,
right,
that has to be put in as essentially a bonus feature,
mm-hmm,
because you can't have... apparently, you can't have two sets of subtitles, from what I understand, from
really?
Having spoken to some voice actors before.
Hmm. That's a kind of interesting thing, because it would just make everything so much easier, and, you know, chances are it would make everyone happier.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay, and just to let you guys know, I slipped in some Kirby Superstar.
Oh, of course.
Because...
Good choice again.
Yes, because, you know, I know I'm going off topic with the whole subtitles and Sentai and DVD stuff, but I wanted to let you know that recently I've come upon some Kirby, because I...
You mean like you found cooked Kirby meat, or...
No, that's Kobe meat.
Oh, okay.
No, that... I would...
I didn't even realize that was a pun in the making. You caught that. That was good.
I was going to say that was... almost going to be passable, but no, this is... I recently came up a... I got Kirby 64.
Oh, wow.
Because I just saw it on a video game vault somewhere. I don't know. It's very obscure. But anyway, expect a review of that probably next week or Wednesday. But anyway, let's go back into some Sentai. And what do you think about the American versions?
Okay, let's see. I guess we'll talk about Rangers first, since obviously that's what we all got started with, I think, over here. Actually, you know what? Ultraman came first, and that was a bit ahead of our time, but that actually was kind of a literal translation of, and a very good dub job for the time, which was, what, late 60s, early 70s, I think? So then jump ahead to... what we know as Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and at the time, you know, we were all falling all over this, you know,
right,
despite the fact that it's this really, honestly, quite terrible adaptation, merging American footage together with original Japanese footage and then calling it our own. But gosh, I'll admit to having fallen all over it. I loved it. I really did.
Yeah.
But now that I know better and now that I can see the seams really clearly, I'd much rather watch the original Japanese interpretation rather than our own.
Of course. And just to give you an example of what we had to go through with Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, you got these five teens over in this surfer Los Angeles area like Angel, called Angel Grove.
Right.
You got the...
Which is sort of like... It sounds like a rich people's area, which sort of gets rid of any street cred anyway.
No, it's not what you think.
Again.
But let me give you an example. You got Walter Jones.
Mm-hmm.
You know him as the Black Ranger.
Right.
Then you got Tui Trang, God rest her soul, as the Yellow Ranger.
Right.
And then you got Amy Jo Johnson as the Pink Ranger. Notice a pattern here?
Yes. Yes, it was pretty sexist and racist. And
well, not to mention, take also for example, the show that they were taking it from, Zyu Ranger, was absolutely nothing about five fighting teenagers with attitude. It was about these people that they resurrected from ancient times that were ancient princes and princesses and warriors that come back to save everyone from... Bandora-sama, otherwise known as Rita Repulsa. So, I mean, it was just a completely different show entirely.
And if you really think about it, you know, in terms of today's kids' interests, that would have been miles cooler.
Oh, yeah, I mean, heck, you could even put that up against Thundercats, I think, in terms of cool factor.
Well, I mean, like, Thundercats has its... you know, negative moments. I mean, you know, who gets a...
And the times where I made my Sword of Thundera grow.
Well, I mean, like, you know, I've never been, like, excited by a weird cat thing saying snarf. That's just not cool.
No, no, Snarf was never, ever cool. I don't think anyone ever found him cool, ever.
Yeah. No, not at all. And that's why I'm glad that Seth Green turned him into a stuffed statue in Robot Chicken. A fitting end to a character that's part of the series, I guess.
He's a part of all of our minds. He's in that place that we hope never to experience a flashback to.
Yeah, I try to push him out as much as possible.
Okay, and let's see here. What else is there?
Leave us alone. No one likes you.
What else is there? Actually, kind of think of it, since this is in honor of Matsuri, I wanted to ask if there are any special traditional holidays that are celebrated over there in San Antonio. That are
okay.
Japanese.
Well, go ahead.
No, I'm asking you.
Okay, well, I know we tend to have... San Antonio is the sister city of Kumamoto, Japan. So we have traditional Kumamoto celebrations of... We have the Japan-America Society of San Antonio, so they try to celebrate each one of the traditional Japanese festivals as much as possible. I mean, it's really not ever huge, and usually takes place in the San Antonio downtown city library,
mm-hmm.
or in the Japanese tea garden. So it's never really very big, but yeah, it does exist, and really cool to get out to if you ever get the chance to. Of course, most of your listeners are halfway across the country, so...
Well, we only have like about a 1 mile radius, so I'd say that most of them are online.
That's true. Okay.
On live365.com, keyword KJCC. So if you're listening to this and you're in San Antonio, then I suggest you go out there and check out these Japanese holidays being held over at the
Japan America Society of San Antonio.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that.
Let's see here. I'm going to go into some Shinobu Ando. I played this already, but I need a Japanese version, because this is fitting.
So?
But while this is playing, let's talk about what other holidays are there out that they celebrate, besides Children's Day and Grandparents' Day and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, we got festivals of... each season has its own festival. I'm trying to remember all of them specifically that we actually celebrate. Because, like I said, they're not particularly big and too well celebrated.
Well, as far as I know, there's Matsuri, there's Oban, there's Aki. And if there's a Yuki somewhere, I'd say go... There's that, too.
I think that one's the lesser celebrated of all of them. We're referring to, of course, winter.
Right.
Yeah, yes. Fuyu as in winter.
We don't get snow around here.
Yeah.
It's kind of...
Nor here.
Okay, I'm going to turn that down. I thought I could play Shinobu Ando while talking with our special guest Mars Girl on KJCC, but I guess that doesn't work. If I had my stupid adapter, I would be able to play it with ease.
Yes.
Damn it.
The adapter for his beloved computer.
Yes, my bread and butter. But anyway, there's, as I said, there's Matsuri, there's Oban, your Day of the Dead, your Aki, which is your fall, which is held around September, and the less popular winter.
Yes, I prefer winter personally.
Now, I went to... I actually lived in Japan a little bit last year.
Really?
Went to school, and I went to their Setsubun Festival,
mm-hmm.
Where you go to a temple, and they throw out beans to try to get rid of demons, and they say, in with the good, out with the demons. You know, in with the good, out with the bad, that sort of thing. It's just a festival to celebrate that sort of an idea, which is... kind of cool, but, you know, standing out in the snow and everything was a little bit miserable while they throw out beans and you try to catch them for good luck.
Yeah, that is sort of, one of those things that, you know, that's an interesting one, but I doubt it'll catch on.
There are a lot of traditions over in Japan that involve going to temples and throwing money in a box and then ringing a bell. They do that for the new year, I believe.
Yeah, for the new year, and then you just do that if you want to go for a prayer for whatever's your fancy, of course. And then, not to mention, I mean, this is primarily Shinto
right.
kind of belief, so traditional Japanese ancestral sort of beliefs. And then they've got different gods and ancestors for just about anything you can think of. Like, I was told of one in particular that, like, anybody can be made into a god. This one guy ran so fast, got from one end of the country to another in some set amount of time, and he became the god of running really fast.
And then there's also the fact...
So for them, Shinto divinity is sort of like a Guinness Book of Records?
You could call it that, I suppose. I think that's putting it lightly, but...
Well, yeah, I mean,
yeah,
no offense to their beliefs, because honestly, like, I'm a proud lover of Okami, like, and I completely respect all aspects of Shinto. I think it's amazing.
Actually, just to let you two know, just some Suzaku's useless knowledge.
Of course.
In lieu of Handsome Tom's useless knowledge, I do believe that Shinto is the religion of life, as in Buddhism is the religion of death. Because you see, over in the cemeteries in Japan, Buddha is watching over the dead.
Fascinating.
Or something like that.
Well, I mean, Shinto is sort of a multiplicity kind of thing. It's just about so many different things all being together. You know, it's compartmentalizing the universe, at least as far as I have seen.
And on the talk of Okami, which is this is Zutin, by the way. He's Zutin.
Yes, I'm Zutin.
Okami is one of those special games that should deserve recognition, even though it has already.
Yeah, it already deserves recognition. It was when it came out in 2006, it was IGN's Game of the Year, which it should go without saying that that's quite a tall feat, considering that that's also when Twilight Princess came out, as well as Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, which for a while it was also one of my favorites. But the point being, you know, this is one of those games that has so much artistic perfection in it. One wonders how they ever got the funding to make it.
There's a lot of scenery porn in there, which is a great eye-gasm.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I finally said it. I was trying to find something irrelevant. I mean,
in this case, it is what you think. It is so beautiful that you do feel like physical reactions to it that are quite pleasant.
You're spitting more than tears out of your eyes when you see the scenery pour. It's a total eyegasm.
Yes, they sort of spray out of your eyes, you know, three at a time, side to side, right?
I think the Wii version of the game too is like the most incredible version you could have really asked for. I think it was a really great port of what was already a good game.
Yeah.
Of course.
I have to say, I personally prefer the PS2 version just because that's the version that you can get still with the Clover stuff on it, because I really respect them.
That's true. Clover's gone now, right?
Right, but at the same time, you know, even though they re-released it as a greatest hits, they didn't have the Clover thing in it. So, you know, the version that I have... that has the Clover insignia, you know, that to me is really a special thing that I own. I mean, it's sort of a strange thing to say that, but, you know, just to me, it's actually something that honors the real developers, so I've always...
Well, that's kind of like how I felt after Squaresoft and Enix merged into Square Enix,
right.
And I was trying to get a hold of an original copy of Xenogears, and I was trying to find one that wasn't a greatest hits and didn't say Square Enix all over it, and I'm just thinking, Enix, you had nothing to do with this game, I really... really badly wanted a copy that said Squaresoft on it, so went out and found myself a copy, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that, about Okami that I miss, not that I miss, because I have the, in my opinion, the better version, but that I think other people are missing out on, is just the opportunity to see, for example, the end credits as they were originally, because they are beautiful, and other things like that. You know, but I mean, I don't want to belabor the point. I just think it's an artistic masterpiece of all games and should be a part of everyone's library.
Of course, and Xenogears, Okami, and any other games out there that are worth your time and worth your eyeballs, I suggest you pick them up.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those games that's on the PS2 and the Wii, which are pretty much the two top dogs in video game consoles right now and maybe in all of history for now. So, you know, it's really a good time to be thinking about getting it.
If you've never played it on the PS2, you may as well go ahead and get it on the Wii if you can't find a PS2 copy. I mean, if you've never touched it, then by all means, I say go ahead and go for the Wii version.
Oh, yeah, I'll agree with that for sure. But if you're a purist, you know, then you're free to look for a version that has the Clover insignia on it.
And if he wants to be on or not?
Oh,
no?
But yeah, inside, we had no.
Okay,
but besides that.
Anyway, let's see. How about some? Besides Eosis, and I don't know how to pronounce his name. I don't even know if it's his real name, but Nyan. I featured Okusenman and Airman Gautasenai. Are there any other artists out there? Doujin bands, as I call them. Are there any other doujin bands that are worth mentioning? Mars Girl?
Ooh, you know, I can't think of any off the top of my head. You know, that's something that Japan really likes to do, is actually do that doujin kind of stuff, and America hasn't really picked up on it very much. If you ever get the chance, I can't remember the full title of the song, but find the 15 Voices version of this big compilation of a whole bunch of anime video game things all together. Was a remix that included both Airman Ga Taosanai as well as Okusenman. And it's just a big Nico Nico Doga extravaganza. I have it somewhere later on. I guess I'll give you the full title of it because I have it somewhere, but that's okay. One choice. And I think the only other person I can think of off the top of my head that actually does that sort of stuff in English would be Brental Floss.
Brental Floss. I remember him.
He's hosted now. He just recently got picked up by ScrewAttack.com, so he's more easy to find now. Actually, there's this one guy who also does anime and video game-themed music in English. If I can remember his name. But he did, for example, the song Yuri the Only One for Me, which...
What? Yuri the Only One?
Yuri the Only One. Yeah, Yuri the Only One.
So, I thought that this would that you just mentioned, that's the one that they have at the openings to Video Games Live, isn't it?
Is it? I totally don't know. I know he performed it live at, I think it was AWA, Anime Weekend Atlanta, last year.
Hmm.
Wouldn't that be Martin Lung or Piano Squall?
No, not Piano Squall. This is a rock song. In fact, right. I bet you I can look it up right now. But yeah, this guy does really catchy anime and video game themed stuff. He's got another song called Guitar Hero Hero. Mm. They're catchy and kind of cute.
Sounds like a pretty interesting artist.
We actually...
Leet Street Boys.
What?
Leet Street Boys.
That's funny.
L33T Street?
Actually, L-E-E-T.
Yeah, and then STR33T.
No, all E's, no numbers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Leet
Street Boys.
Yep.
And then, yeah, there's a Riot. There's something on about them on SenshiCon 2009. Guitar Hero Hero Leet Street Boys.
Yep, that's the one.
Let's try it.
Let's try it. Let's see. Let's give a little taste of what. Legend's just begun by dawning of the sun. To be a master, past and yet to come. Well,
is it live? That sounds like it's live.
Yeah, it's a live one.
I'm gonna switch that with a There, how's that?
There, that sounds much better.
Okay, that sounds better. This is Leet Street Boys with Guitar Hero Hero on KJCC, Real Campus Radio, online at live365.com, keyword KJCC. I was also going to go with some Crow's Claw. Maybe you heard of them?
Not me personally.
I mean, this seemed like a good doujin band along with the Red Wings and stuff, but we'll feature Disillusion, Crow's Claw's version of Disillusion from Fate's Day Night after this. So keep it locked. I guess that was Leet Street Boys with Guitar Hero Hero, I guess, on KJCC, Real Campus Radio, online at live365.com, keyword KJCC. This is Suzaku.
This is Zutun, and with us is
Mars Girl.
And this is the Limit Break. Okay, we only got about 18 minutes left, but what else is there besides doujin bands that we just witnessed the first American doujin band, I guess.
Well, the first one that we've noticed.
Yeah, I guess that's the right way to say it, right?
I guess so. I mean, I had never quite used that term before. I mean, that's basically the idea I got from it, was that it's fan-made with fan-made lyrics. But I really like Leet Street Boys because, you know, they write their own music entirely and just base it around anime and video game fandom, and they don't really borrow it from anywhere else.
Of course. And then speaking of which, there's another person who writes his own music and briefly sang it towards video games, and that would be GameJu.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
In fact, I've catched most of his weekly shows on Wednesday on Ustream, but since he went on hiatus, I guess the spirit of GameJu has left him. Now he is man-made, and he's writing a song a day, which I gotta admit is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's impressive.
He got mad props from CNN or Headline News or somebody, and then they were up in arms for him because he was singing a song about, I forget who, but they really loved it, and he was featured on CNN, so that was awesome.
That is really cool.
And for that, I give him the Suzaku Seal of Awesome.
Which is a thumbs up in the air with shining light beaming out of it.
Exactly. And let's see, what else is there? I think...
Well, I mean, like, yeah. I mean, is there anything else that, besides, like,
Everything that we talked about here that hasn't been mentioned?
I was going to ask her if there's anything besides anime that she, you know, enjoys, watching or looking at and things like that. I mean, like, what other kind of hobbies do you have?
Mars Girl?
Oh. Am I here? Okay, I think I'm here now.
You're here, you're a ninja. You're here, but you're not here.
Yes, you were just sort of silent, and it was very awkward.
I'm sorry. Well, yeah, I'm a big collector of video games myself, mostly JRPGs.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I have a pretty decent collection of manga. My total collection of anime, manga, and video games no longer fits in the shelf, and I don't really know what to do about it.
Wow, that's definitely impressive as well as unfortunate, I guess.
And talk about JRPGs. Do you have Eternal Sonata?
I do not have Eternal Sonata. I played the demo. It was pretty.
Yeah.
That's all I could really say about the demo.
Yeah, that's one of those games that, you know, again, as far as beauty is very nice, but, you know, as far as gameplay, I don't think it's as fun. Or just enjoyable.
Oh, come on, Zutin. You're siding with Maverick on this. It's real time. It's turn-based in real time. You have a certain amount of seconds for you to take your own actions to wail on the enemies, and then the other person gets a turn.
Right.
You can't have both turn-based and real time.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, for me, what I prefer about Okami compared to Eternal Sonata, if we're going to talk about, you know, art games, what?
Art game, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, if we're going to talk about art games, you know, it seems like that's the competition here is between those two. I think the nice thing about Okami is that it's got a much deeper and more substantial storyline. You know, it talks about growing up, it talks about love, it talks about, getting into your destiny and things like that. It's not just about medicine.
But wait! What about Eternal Sonata, which is basically the concept of a game based on Chopin?
Chopin? Well, yeah, I mean, that's true, but, like, the whole idea of...
I mean, sure, know. I mean, sure, it follows the... the typical cliches of your Japanese RPGs, which are little sort of thing, and then you get your little lolly characters, and you got your Oji-san sort of thing, and then you got your guy with the big freaking sword, you know, all those cliches, and then sure, Eternal Sonata is ultimately linear, and people may not be turned on by the concept of a game based on Chopin, but, you know, come on. It's still a great JRPG.
Oh, well, yeah, it's great, but, I mean, like, there's a difference. Anyway, sorry, I just...
And then there's also Valkyria Chronicles, which is part strategy and RPG, which the two fit together in real time and turn-based.
So...
How about that?
What's your opinion on it?
Sure. I mean, I haven't played it, so I can't really formulate a very good opinion on it.
Nor have I, so unfortunately that's one of those things that we'll have to talk about once there's a bit more experience. But,
But what about the other JRPGs out there, like Atelier Iris or R. Tornelico?
I have a lot of games that have been released by Atlus, which include Alter Iris, Disgaea,
Ooh, Disgaea.
Shin Megami Tensei series? Like, not just the Personas, but, you know, the Nocturne and things like that.
I kind of like... a lot of them are that kind of turn-based RPG sort of style. However, for example, within Disgaea, you can level up, like, hundreds upon hundreds of levels, which just completely blows my mind. It used to be... when I lived back at home and when I didn't have a job, sure, right. I'd sit in front of my TV and play like 20 hours a day.
Yeah.
And only sleep for 2 hours and then eat for two of those hours and then maybe go bathe, you know.
Right.
Ah, such the life of an average gamer.
Right.
Now I miss those times when I actually got a chance to play all the games I can on my own. All the hours which is averaged upon 13 hours a week on video games. That was a good time. Now,
yeah, but I don't have that kind of time anymore, and I do have a bunch of those styled games sitting on my shelf, kind of untouched, collecting dust, which I one day do hope to get back to, but I'm feeling kind of sad that I haven't really messed around with them much thus far.
And then there's also, do you also have Prinny, Can I Really Be the Hero?
Wait, say what?
It's not what you think. It's actually a 2D side scroller, based in the Sky universe with Prennies. You know,
really?
Yeah, I mean, you got.
Don't know about that.
I mean, you got 1,000 Prennies, dude, and you got to complete the game with only 1,000 Prennies, and you know how they explode with one hit.
Right.
So there's a
that
lot.
That sounds challenging.
It is challenging, especially with 1,000 Prennies, dude.
So now you mentioned. That you, it seems like you sort of know your D&D, you know, your way around it. And given your obvious penchant for anime, have you heard of the game Exalted from White Wolf?
I have heard of Exalted. I have not played within their rules, but yes, yeah. I have.
I do suggest that you try it out. It's much more freeform, but it sort of combines Greek tragedy and the sort of things that you can get in a movie like Ran, you know, the Akira Kurosawa kind of level of over bombastic kind of extravagance and beauty and huge battles, etc. I mean, there's all sorts of wondrous things that you can do, or you can just have it degenerate into mech battles or whatever. But it's quite interesting how flexible they've made it with their very dynamic system.
The closest I've come to anything like that has been Besom, Big
yeah,
Eyes,
I've,
Small
I've heard a,
Mouth.
I've heard a lot about that, and chances are that's actually even more freeform, just because, like, from what I've heard, the rules are much more in the hands of the players and the game master. But the nice thing
it's
about...
It's really loose. It really is a really loose system. I tried DMing a game of that, and it just went absolutely everywhere, even in directions I couldn't possibly have predicted it to go.
Yeah. The thing about Exalted that's nice in that regard is that there is a backstory that's quite deep. You know, the first chapter, which takes up almost a third of the book out of 10, is made up just of what, you know, you might call fluff, but what I consider a very interesting backstory. So, but anyway, yeah, check it out. It's in its second edition, but...
We'll have to do.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we don't have enough time. We only have 7 minutes of the show left, but care to do a drop?
A drop for us.
A drop.
Yeah, we'll type in the sort of the, you know, thing that you say to advertise the station, etc.
I can do that. That's easy. I can read.
Yeah, reading is fun. It's cool.
Let's see here.
It's what the cool kids do.
Right.
Yes, we are experiencing typing, stuff. So.
Well, it's kind of important if you want to have something to read afterwards.
Well, of course, yeah. But it's always weird to have the dead air, so.
Okay, there you go. Ready?
Just about, okay. Okay, so, yeah, I'm ready. All right. Are you ready? Because I'm totally ready.
Go for it.
Hey, this is Mars Girl, and you're listening to The Limit Break on KJCC 104.1 FM, real campus radio. Listen online at live365.com. Keyword, KJCC.
That was excellent.
Perfect. Thank you. And, you guys, go. Oh, yeah, one more thing. Any convention, any upcoming convention that you'll be attending besides IckyCon?
I will be attending Akon, which is up in Dallas, May. Oh, what is that? It's the last weekend of May. Followed also by SGC, the Screw Attack Gaming Convention, which is July 3rd through 5th.
Right.
Which is both of those conventions take place in Dallas, Texas. So, and those are probably two of the largest events that will be taking place within Texas. I see that you guys have coming up two conventions in San Jose next month.
Right.
One weekend right after the other, which is kind of rough. But
actually, to tell you the truth. Oh, yeah, that's right. The SuperCon is coming to the convention center May 16th and 17th.
Yes, and then...
And then Fanime will be here during Memorial Day. I will be there. I don't know about everybody else, but
I will get your butts
out there to the convention center and check out the anime and video game conventions coming up in San Jose. And don't forget, Anime Expo is coming to Los Angeles or Anaheim or Long Beach or whatever in July.
And yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Anime Expo, Los Angeles Convention Center, July 2nd through 5th.
Oh, man. That is a rough one. You got Anime Expo here. You got
SGC,
and then you got Akon all going at the same time.
Yeah, see, SGC takes place the exact same weekend as Anime Expo, and what really upsets me is that they're having a Power Rangers reunion over at Anime Expo, but I've already dedicated my time to SGC. So
wow.
Somebody take some footage for me or something.
Yeah, that would be good.
Don't worry, Mars Girl. I will be there. I will be at Akon to check out the Power Ranger reunion.
Oh, that's at Anime Expo out in Los Angeles, where the Power Ranger reunion's going to be. I mean, I'm going to be at Akon, which is in May, which is no problem for me, and then SGC in July, which, again, is no problem for me. But SGC and Anime Expo over in Los Angeles take place the same weekend.
Oh, yes, that's right. And then, finally, to end off this summer of conventions is Otakon over in Baltimore, possibly on August 17th through 19th, I believe.
That sounds about right.
Check out Otakon.com for more information. But Mars Girl, thank you very much for being on here on the Limit Break.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure.
And you're always welcome here on the Limit Break on KJCC 104.1 FM, Real Campus Radio.
Yes.
And also, you guys, check out her con videos on thatguywiththeglasses.com and also her segment of What's That Anime and anything else that she brings down the pike.
Yes, because she has excellent stuff.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
In fact, you, Mars Girl, get the Suzaku Seal of Awesome.
Yeah. Actually, he was giving two of them, so that's double the bright light coming out of it.
Right.
Double the awesome. Yes. I'm feeling pretty good right now.
Yes, double the awesome.
And then we're going to end with some disillusion, by Crow's Claw from their Broken Phantasm album. I hope to see you. I hope to check out more of your videos on thatguywiththeglasses.com. And shout out to the Wikia team, Seafarer, Spice Girl 1, and Daffy. It's not what you think. you guys, everybody's awesome at That Guy with the Glasses, and as well as Transmission Awesome. So
thanks a lot, you guys.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
All right, I'll catch your videos later on.
Yep.
All right, see ya. And that was Mars Girl from thatguywiththeglasses.com and Mars Girl Productions. And we're going to go, and up next is On the Spot and On Blast with your host, D-Money. And this is Disillusion, not Disillusion.
It is what you think. This is the end of the Limit Break. Thank you for listening.
Let's see here, and go.